Gary Leaf in. Ron Shearer, we hope to be able to hook up with soon. Gary, you came in here through a little bit of a, I mean, that's a real snowfall out there.
Yeah, you can actually do a legitimate real weather report out there.
Yeah,
it
you
is
can.
Real weather out there coming down.
I rode
down.
The bike over here, you know, that's what I do.
What I wonder
but
is,
you know what, if you're going to be tough, then you do things like you ride a bike.
Write down this stuff like that. I saw the bike. He's just not making that up. He's riding a bicycle down the streets.
I can't just sit here and say I'm tough. I got to prove it. Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
That's
I just
right.
Rode
no
my
gloves.
Bike over here and all this.
No gloves like go. Bud. You got that from Bud.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's, I guess, when, I start with that because that as I transition into, that's what probably, you know, you talk about what disappoints you the most in Ron. And I think probably that you know, when the going gets tough, when it gets cold here and we get tired and it's February,
down,
he goes to Palm
depressed.
Springs
yep.
Where you can't hunt or fish anything.
No, not anything that we're aware of.
Of the things that I think of that disappoint me
outside, maybe inside.
And
restaurant.
This would stand out as one of the, you know, because there's a certain toughness that you have to endure
a
the
grip.
Winters here. And to see him, you know, I'd held him in such high esteem as an outdoorsman. And then to see when, February, I got to get out of here. I've been here long enough. This is so cold. It's so cold. I don't want to shovel. I mean, when I heard that, I never thought those words would come from his mouth.
Yeah. Famous ones, too.
Yeah, those are famous. Those are other quotes. Those are the sheriff quotes, which are different than the presidential quotes I just showed.
Well, I got a good one for you, too.
Yeah, give me one.
The most valuable of all talents is that of never using two words when one will do.
That's very good.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, yeah. Well, are you saying Ron is there? Are you there, Ron?
Yeah, I've been.
I was just saying, man, you got it figured out, boy.
Thank you. I knew you'd see it my way sooner or later.
I miss you, man. Where you been now? Are you like in L.A. tonight or in Rodeo Drive? Or how do you roll out there?
Well, I went over to a hippie camp today.
Yep, saw some of your old buddies from back in the day in Iowa.
Yeah, some of them, their eyes were a little glazed over. figure that out. But I've been hunting.
Yeah.
You said there's nothing to hunt out here. If you're hitting a golf ball like I do, there's plenty to hunt for.
Right in the cactus.
Water. And I hit close to water, so I finally found a coot with one leg for you, Max.
Did you find one finally?
A one-legged coot.
Oh, but if it's got two wings, I'm still in trouble.
Well, wait till he lands, and then
you'll
be all right.
Okay.
Got to see how that, who knows how happened.
I see our legislature is up and running and coming up with, I think, where did they come up with this idea? And like, this is the number one deal that we're thinking about? Anyway, I did understand that Pheasant Fest was set a record, and Governor Walz showed up. That was a good move on his part, I would say. And the weather is coming around above freezing for you guys.
Yeah, it's above freezing, all right,
yeah,
but there's a blizzard going on out there.
Don't you feel good for us now? It's snowing so hard right now you can barely see, buddy.
Oh.
And it's the slippery stuff. It's the slippery stuff, too.
Now I got to go shovel his driveway again.
Well, yeah.
What do I owe you for that?
See, well, you've always said nothing says appreciation like a good hearty handshake.
God, I owe you a couple of handshakes.
You owe a couple of handshakes. Well, what's going? Are you missing Minnesota? What's it like to be Ron Shearer right now?
Well, let me tell you, I shouldn't even say this. I'm out golfing with John Rowe. You remember John Rowe?
Yeah.
Star Tribune. And these people pull up on this desert course, and this guy says, "There's Ron Shearer." I go, "Oh my lord!
Oh my gosh! The last thing we needed was to be in California and have somebody come and recognize him."
You'll never have that happen to you, so don't worry about it.
I know.
It's fun to get away. You know, I would rather fish than golf, and if you saw me golf, you'd understand why.
I've seen you fish, and that really says something.
Yeah, right. That was a good one, Maxie.
Thank you again.
He's been waiting. He said, I've been working on something all week. You know?
And I got some of them just storing up for when you get back.
I can't wait.
Yeah, he does a lot of due diligence. People would be surprised on this stuff like that. He's getting outsiders to give input. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So, you know.
Do you ever drive to the coast or anything and go fishing during these times? Anything like that?
No, there's nothing to fish for out here.
But, I mean, why not drive to the ocean? You got connections.
Well, if you heard the traffic horror stories that I hear out here. Oh.
Like what? What's going on there?
Like if you land at the L.A. airport and on a Friday afternoon and you're trying to come to Palm Springs, which is about 120 miles, that's a four hour deal.
Really?
And bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper. And so I have no desire to go out there. Plus, ocean fishing, a lot of people like it, and I do too in certain situations. But normally it's you're on a very expensive boat ride. The captain and the first mate does everything. And if you get a strike, he says, you're up, you're next, get in the chair here. And you're a human winch, and you reel something in, and everybody goes, yay, that was great.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah, it can be if you've never done it, but I've done it. I'd rather ocean fishing. I'd rather go where I can hold the fishing rod myself and cast and
figure it out yourself.
Do it myself, yeah. So, but I know there's some good fishing off of San Diego. I just have never done it.
Yeah. Well, you got some movement going on over there in the legislature. They passed a bill, added some language onto the Lessard Council to create or provide or consider whatever more handicap access to public hunting lands in Minnesota. We're going to have that was a bill by Representative Fabian, so I'm going to have him come and talk about it. It was a bipartisan bill.
Yeah, they also set one up for term limits for Lessard Sam's Council members.
What do you think of that? That sounds like a good idea.
Well, it would be even a better idea if they'd add themselves to the term limit.
Well,
you
never
can quote me on that.
It never, you know. Well, everybody wants term limits. I suppose it's going to pop out all over the place.
How long have you been on there, Ron?
I've been on there 8 years.
I'm just asking. I'm not thinking of one, you know, that one relates to the other. I'm just asking. One
there's always one abuser, you know.
I know. Well, if they want to get rid of me, they can, you know. But it's been a pleasure to be there. I think we've done good work. Even Dennis Anderson wrote a nice story not too long ago about the Lessard Sands Council and the money we're spending on wetlands, prairies, et cetera. That's a story that's not very well or not told often in Minnesota. Yet it's, as I think the headline in the Star Tribune said, here's one government operation that works. Yeah. So I'm proud of that.
Well, yeah, you know,
and you guys should be because it's been run with efficiency.
Yeah, you know, when that passed in the first year, got it through, you know, before it went on the ballot, and then it after it got going a little bit, the Senate Majority Leader at the time from Minneapolis, Larry Pogemiller.
Yeah, Pogi.
Pogi. He came and asked me, he goes, I wonder how that model would work on other issues. He goes, I'm thinking about doing it for other things, too. And I said, well, yeah, it would work with really, depending on how you do it, it could work on a lot of different things.
Yeah, it certainly could. And you know what I liked most about the Lessard Sands Council in my 8 years there, actually it's going on 10 now, it's very nonpartisan, very nonpartisan. Nobody is thinking about the Republican way to restore a wetland or a Democrat way to restore a wetland. It's what works for Minnesota, and are we getting a bang for our buck? And everybody seeks that, and so you're not any of that, oh, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, that kind of BS.
You know, it's $137 million, I think it is.
Yeah, it is $137, yeah.
That's up 30, you know, when it started, the first cycle was half a cycle or whatever, it was $67
million.
Then eventually it moved up to about $100 million, and that's what we predicted it to be. But the economy must be going because it's driven off the sales tax.
Yeah, sales tax completely.
You know, so that's $37 million. That's
$37 million, Ron.
Quite a bit more than what it
is. A lot, Ron.
Just a few years ago.
You know, another way to look at that, I think I mentioned it before, Maxie, but the increase that voters voted for amounts to 4 extra cents on a $10 purchase. 4 cents on a $10 purchase, and that adds up to $137 million. That's actually incorrect, because that's only one-third of it,
yeah.
Gary.
Oh, I didn't. That wasn't my. That wasn't my numbers.
Yeah,
that was yours.
Don't lay that on Gary. You're the one that came up with the formula.
He was smooth how he did that. Did you see how he did it?
Yeah. First, he realized he was wrong, and then he says, "Gary, that's not right."
And then a little earlier, he was talking about nonpartisan and politics and all that. That was about as good as you get any professional politician to segue.
That was good, Rod.
Go ahead.
Hey, he's not perfect. He's not perfect. Gary could use a little ridicule. You know?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to come in here, you know what I say? If you're going to come in here, be ready to feel my scorn and hearth, but just don't throw it back at me.
There you go.
It's always the other guy.
Yeah. So it's, yep. Anything you're doing exciting the next couple of days?
I go to a men's club. World Gym is called here.
Oh boy, what do you
Was Arnold
do?
Schwarzenegger there or somebody like that?
No, there are some guys that look like him are there. It kind of reminds me of what I was like when I was 25 years old. But nothing too exciting. Play a little more golf. And I'm actually looking forward to getting home. I couldn't spend more than a month here because
when do you come
bored.
Home?
What's that?
When do you return?
Come back the last day of February.
Oh, okay.
And I've got a very busy March. We have lots of things going on. I want to invite Maxie to a wild game dinner.
Oh, great!
And I
assume that's because you need somebody to ring the wild game.
Speaking of,
don't worry,
also,
I'll take care of it,
a
Rod.
Minnesota wild game, by the
I
way.
Said too. Wild game, not roadkill, Maxie.
It's one and the same, buddy.
I'm looking forward to getting back, but it's nice to get away from 10 below weather.
So. All right, we'll let you go. Remember that nudist colony. That was a terrible sunburn a few years ago, so just stick to golf.
I know. There's parts of me have never seen the daylight since.
And shouldn't, I might add. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, sure.
And shouldn't. Take a break, come back. Who's our first guest, Gary, come out of the box?
We got Representative Dan Fabian.
Yes, we do.
He's from Roseau, Minnesota, and he's got a new proposal. He's got working its way through the legislature that could become enacted and become law. Be interesting to hear about it.
We will when we come back live outdoors in WCCO. Welcome back. Gary, introduce our next guest.
We've got on the line is Representative Dan Fabian from the great town of Roseau, Minnesota, and he's introduced some new language over in the House, and it's put onto a bill and moving forward that would expand hunter access, disabled hunter access to public land. So, Dan, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing? How you like? We got your weather down here. What's going on? Did you bring this with you?
Yeah, I drove down through it this morning. I left Roseau about 6 o'clock this morning to get down here, and I'm glad I left when I did because we had some snow up in the Roseau area, and then when I got south of Bemidji, you know, into central Minnesota.
here we go, huh?
And then down through Akeley and that country, there was actually quite a bit of snow.
So, oh, really?
Is there a lot in Roseau right now?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Is there a lot of snow in Roseau right now?
No, actually, right in that northwest corner of the state from the Red River over towards Lake of the Woods, we don't have that much as they do south of us. And, you know, I actually went for a snowmobile ride on Saturday, but it was the conditions weren't very good. The wind was blowing about 35 or 40 miles an hour, so a lot of our groomed trails out in the open were drifted in. So then I dropped down onto the Roseau River and there'd been quite a bit of traffic there too earlier, and a lot of slush had been there, so it was pretty hard. But the trails are groomed now, I heard, north of Roseau, and it's good. The other thing that's happened is on Lake of the Woods, of course, there's not that much snow up there. There were some poor ice conditions early on because it was so rough and so forth. And with all of the other stuff going on around central Minnesota and up north into the Brainerd, Bemidji, Detroit Lakes, Park Rapids area, we've just got lots and lots and lots of ice fishermen on Lake of the Woods this winter. It's actually a little concerning because there are so many people, but we'll see.
Is that partly because of the problem, the lake levels, the ice thickness and conditions on other lakes further south, and it's not as dispersed as it normally is, or is there just such good fishing?
Yeah, that's the way it sounds. You know, Red Lake is not very good. Mille Lacs, although I heard there's all kinds of fish houses on Mille Lacs, but it's just become a destination. You know, people like to, you know, they hook up their wheelhouses behind their pickups and they drive up to the Lake of the Woods to enjoy a weekend or a few days. And it's amazing. I think last winter the University of Minnesota was out there doing some surveys and stuff, and I'm not exactly sure of the numbers, but I think on four different Saturdays there were 20,000 people on Lake of the Woods.
Wow. Really?
According to the information that I saw. So
that's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah,
that's a good sized town.
It's
a good sized town. I mean, Brainerd is what, 50?
Convenience store in the middle of that thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you bet you could.
Get a portable gas station.
Car dealership right out there on the ice, you bet.
Well, you know, if you go to Zippo Bay and you go out on the lake there, they've got a structure out there they call the Igloo. And you can go out there. You can Zippo Bay Resort runs it. You can Google search it and stuff. They'll sell you a beer and a pizza, I guess. It's a common stop for ice fishermen and snowmobilers. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. Now you've got something that's also pretty neat that's going through the legislature over there, which is a bill that would increase capabilities for handicap access to public hunting lands like WMAs. Why don't you maybe give us a little background on the bill and some of your thoughts on it and what you're hoping it'll achieve?
Yeah, so I've got a hunting buddy that doesn't have a left leg, and we hunt sometimes on the WMA land. And so this bill is specific to wildlife management areas where currently ATVs and motorized travel is banned. So if you get a permit from the DNR, and the first one that you have to get is what they call a shoot from a vehicle permit. So for people who have extreme mobility issues, you can get the permit application online. You can take it to your doctor. The doctor can fill it out. Then you send it in. Then they send it back to you, and now you've got that permit. Well, now if you want to go deer hunting or grouse hunting or pheasant hunting or whatever on a WMA, and you want to use a motorized wheelchair, one of those track chairs, an ATV or whatever, now you have to see the local wildlife manager to get another permit so that then you can drive in some designated areas that they come up with. And me personally, I think that's just...
too many steps.
It's grossly unfair. It's way too time consuming. So let's just say, for example, that Gary Leaf is severely handicapped, and
some say I am in many ways. Go ahead.
Physically. Okay. And so he decides to accept an invitation, and Mike Max gives him a ride up to Roseau, and we're going to go fishing on Lake of the Woods in October. Well, the wind is blowing 35 miles an hour. We're not going fishing on Lake of the Woods. So we decide, let's go out and do some grouse hunting. Well, that's fine, and you can putt along with us on whatever vehicle you have until we go into a WMA. Now you have to stop, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah, that makes no sense. You can do it everywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, I know. State forest lands and so forth, we can. So, but then...
Yeah, how does it work? Differentiate just for a second. Not all these public lands in Minnesota are the title or the ownership of it and the management of it is done by the DNR. A lot of land in Minnesota that we have access to, whether it's snowmobiling, hunting, fishing, that and so on and so forth, is what's called state forest lands, and the counties would own that or hold title, right?
Well, state forest land is DNR managed.
Yeah, a state forest, but then we've also got the county forest land. So there's a mixture of these.
Yes, there are.
And now, what about the Forest Legacy lands, the ones where they have easements on them? Are those open or are those not open?
In most cases, I believe that, yes, they are.
Okay.
So I want to take this one step further. So let's just say that you come up there and you need to get the permit. You got your chute from the vehicle. Then you need to make an arrangement to meet with the WMA manager and so forth. Now let's say that Mike and Gary and Dan decide that they're going to go pheasant hunting. And you're going to go out to western Minnesota and hunt on a WMA out there. Now you have to go and see that local wildlife manager to get a permit to drive your tracked wheelchair or your ATV or whatever to go along with Dan and Mike to enjoy an afternoon. And I just think it's wrong. I think that we need to come up with a way that we streamline that process so that those people who have serious mobility issues can gain access and enjoy an afternoon hunting grouse or deer or pheasants, just like people who don't have those mobility issues.
And isn't it just a matter of just giving them one license that states as such, so if they ever get checked, they've got it? I mean, as opposed to having to meet with somebody?
Well, that's, so I'm open to some suggestions. I actually brought this amendment forward last year at the very end of, not the very end, but near the end of session when we were debating the omnibus environment natural resources policy and finance bill. And I brought the amendment forward that basically says that if you have been to the doctor and you got a handicap sticker, you got handicap plates on your car, and you got one of those things you hang on your mirror, now you can just go and you can enjoy the day. I kind of figured it would get lost. We were able to get the amendment on, but I figured it would get lost during the conference committee's process, which I was okay with. But I wanted to lay the groundwork for doing something this year. So in the meantime, at first DNR was opposed to my amendment. They're opposed to my bill as written. But they assured me from last May through the summer, through the fall, and into early winter that they would bring some language to me that we could work on to try to see if we can't figure out how to streamline this process.
Well, that's a long –
part of the reason why I brought the bill forward again now and had it attached to the legacy of the Lessard bill that we have is because I've gotten zero feedback from DNR in terms of any kind of solutions. So I've become very frustrated by this. It just shouldn't be that hard to do to accommodate people who have some mobility issues. And I've been talking to some of the veterans organizations and so forth, and I'm hopeful that we can streamline this process.
Well, we certainly don't have a decrease over the last 10, 15 years or whatever it is now of people with disabilities that are looking for active participation. I mean, there's groups out there that actively participate in disabled hunts, disabled golf, I mean, all kinds of sporting-related activities. So you would think that there should be some model that would work out. So what are the next steps from your perspective?
Well, I've asked for a hearing in the Environment Policy Committee. We got the amendment on the Lessard portion of the legacy bill last week, got that on there. So I think the next steps, then I've got authors over in the Senate. I've talked to Senator Ingebrigtsen, the chair of the Environment Committee. Senator Johnson is actually carrying the bill. I talked to Senator Hutt, authors over in the Senate. I've talked to Senator Ingebrigtsen, the chair of the Environment Committee. Senator Johnson is actually carrying the bill. I talked to Senator Hoffman, and if you followed the news in the last couple of weeks, Senator Hoffman and his family have been in the news about some handicapped people, a family member who's been, quote, discriminated against. I talked to him at the One Minnesota conference at the University of Minnesota on Wednesday, and he was all in on this, and he was going to talk to Senator Abeler. So I think that we've actually got a lot of momentum, and anybody who's going to, I mean, come on, seriously.
I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that argument.
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't sound like a winning.
No.
I didn't want to make it political, and I told members on the floor, come on, folks, let's just get this on this bill. It wasn't viewed at first as a very friendly environment. I was willing to do a voice vote. And then when it started to become apparent that it's probably not going to be accepted on a voice vote, that's when I said, okay, if that's the way we're going to do this, then I'm going to ask for a voice vote. And if you want to vote against the disabled community, that's up to you. Well, then there was some
wrangling,
looking around the room and so forth, and then it was agreed that we would just do it on a voice vote. So,
all right, Dan.
Keep up the good work, Dan. It's a good fight you're on.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll keep you informed.
Okay? Yeah, we'll definitely have you on and follow that through the session. Dan Fabian, Representative Dan Fabian from Roseau, Minnesota. Thank you very much.
A more interesting talk about where money and outdoors come together or don't next on Live Outdoors. Well, welcome back, Live Outdoors. We heard from Ron Shira, heard from Dan Fabian from Roseau. Bring in our next guest, Gary.
Yes, we've got Senator Andrew Lang. He's from out by the Wilmer area there. And he's a member of the Lessard Council and an active outdoorsman and a whole range of different things. And he's one of the authors, Senate author, of the Lessard Council bill. Good to have you on tonight, Andrew.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. It's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
So was it a long break away from the legislature? How's it feel to be back at your first day of school, first early days of school?
It's the twilight zone. You walk in the door and you feel like you never left. I tell you what,
you know, that the only thing that I can compare that to the Capitol over there at times is like an emergency room. There is no time. It just in the hospital, there is no time. It's just, is it that day? This day? It just goes on and on and on and from one fire to another. But you're carrying the Lessard Council bill, about $137 million. That's going into fish game and wildlife habitat in Minnesota. What were some things that were of interest to you in the bill?
Well, there's a lot of obviously the bill is huge. It's 137.5, so it's, I don't know if that's the biggest Lessard bill.
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, the first ones were, the first year was like 67, and then it hovered just below 100 for quite some time. This has got to be the largest. I'm surprised at that number. But that shows the economy's recovering because it's coming off of the sales tax, you know?
Yep, it's all based. You know, when we had the February forecast, I think we planned on spending about 119, give or take. And then when the November forecast came in, we had an additional 18 or 20 million that we had to allocate, you know, and I being one of the guys that likes to allocate that to some of the folks that, you know, are a smaller municipality or, you know, I know you've seen it in the past where a lot of times if it's a half or $2 million project and the locality has come up with a match on that, it's kind of tough for them small towns.
Yeah.
That's where I tend to lean when we get a little bit of additional money at the end. And fortunately, we've had that the last few years. So
yeah, I remember last year the one from Halleck. I know, you know, Halleck. Finally, I had to look it up. Where is this Halleck? What is this Halleck?
North.
Just.
I hate to tell it, but I almost was hesitant because that's Representative Fabian's district, and I don't want to give him any more credit. But I tell you what, $200,000 to the folks in Halleck is a big chunk of money. So,
oh boy, that's restoring an old walleye fishery.
Is
basically
that what it's doing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, put a price tag on that. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they've used it, you know, in a number of different circumstances to do exactly that: restore some walleye habitat that was, you know, spawning habitat and so on and so forth that haven't been used in many cases for like 30, 40, 50 years, and they come right back.
Yep. Super resilient. And in this bill in particular, you know, there was a lot of, and that's kind of the trend as it's been going on now. This is the 12th year. I did some quick math this morning before the hearing. And I think we're at that $1.3 billion invested in the habitat in Minnesota, and that's pretty amazing. You know, Gary, you might have a better idea if any other states do something like this, but this is a self-imposed sales tax that the Minnesotans, you know, voted to pay for, and it's such a significant chunk of money that goes into the environment.
There's probably nothing of this magnitude. There's maybe a larger one down in Florida. I think they just passed a couple years ago. And this was modeled after the 1/8 sales tax that occurred in Missouri. But that's more dedicated to the DNR, where this is dedicated directly to do on-the-ground projects. So the projects are at the forefront. And who does the projects and how they're done is kind of it's an important detail, but it's not the primary.
Yeah.
It's like we're building, you know, we're building roads with it, not
right.
Financing an agent's bureaucracy or whatever, however you want to define it.
Well, and sure, and some of those fiscal agents, you know, those Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forevers of the world, have kind of had to cope and learn how to spend some of this money and do it in the way that the state is comfortable with. And to be honest, without them, the state would have a tough time doing it. You know, we wouldn't be able to fulfill those obligations without those partners.
Are they good partnerships because they recognize what needs to be done, or what?
Oh, I think so. I think they are, you know, the boots on the ground folks that are in the field. Like, you know, the Ducks Unlimited in particular, Pheasants Forever, they know where the projects are. Oftentimes the landowners get in contact with them first and then come to us, and then they present their project to the board. And ultimately, the Lessard Sams is nothing but a group and a council that wants to have a recommendation of how we should spend the money. But I think they have such a great reputation over the last dozen years that bill oftentimes goes untouched through the legislature. So it's a testament to how the group works, how we go through and look at, you know, we go all the post projects that we've done in the past, see what we've done, see what we like. And then go through some of the upcoming proposals that we may or may not fund. So we go on tours throughout the state during the summer and see some of these great projects. So it's pretty fun to see, and it's fun to be a part of.
And even though it's the most amount of money spent, the requests are still far and away greater. But more importantly, all these groups have to compete with. So the Halleck Project competes with Ducks Unlimited, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, different DNR programs, a bunch of other groups, smaller groups, so all that competition. So you end up with a book that's, what, 3, 4, or 5 inches thick? I mean, the thing is ridiculous.
I think it's a 6-inch binder that comes square in a UPS box. I've already got it for the upcoming session, so... started digging through it a little bit, but yeah, it takes a while to give all those projects their due. You know, you want to, and this year we had 43 proposals and we had 41 awardees, and for the most part, they're roughly about 33% to 35% of the ask is what we're providing, give or take on average. So there are some projects that receive a lot more than that. But for the most part, you know, they're all phase 1 or phase 2, where the fiscal agents or the people that are running the projects know that this is going to be step 1 and that we're going to fund it and that we value the project as a whole. So,
so again, I want to get back to this before we say goodbye. I've got the idea to do a 1 acre where I grow corn on it and I flood the cornfield, and it would be perfect for the ducks, obviously, and I'd be the only one allowed to hunt it, but it would also fortify the whole area because it would create, you know, ducks flowing back and forth, and I wouldn't mind if other people got a shot at them as long as they were, you know, a few miles away. What kind of legs would I have? What would be the best way for me to put that proposal together?
You know, I don't know if you could try to get a sunken blind in that cornfield.
Well, that too. I didn't want to ask for too much right away, but as long as you brought it up.
Yeah, what was those things they use on the Great Lakes for diver duck hunting? Sink boats.
Yeah, we'll throw one of those in the north side.
Get a sink boat out there. Of course, then Representative Fabian's going to have to pass another law to make those legal in Minnesota because they're so we'll have to do...
I mean, those are just details. Die on the hill. The point being, I think this has lots of legs. I just haven't figured out the best way to put the proposal together.
Well, if he named it the Max Bill, I think that would probably have some.
Oh, yeah. Now, with Ron sitting on the council, I'd have a real good chance.
were there any projects that kind of people talked about today that they had questions on or anything like that, or they kind of...
You know, it kind of ranges somewhat on the committee. You know, once you get to the legislature, you know, it's a hit or miss of what they're going to ask about. And one of the things they asked about was, now that it's been a dozen years of the 25 that the folks voted for, what is our check on learning? What are we looking at and saying that the projects have been completed in a way we wanted them to complete it? And honestly, there's an outside agency that looks at those things, and all of the groups that receive funding from Lessard Sams always turn in a project report at the end of it. And for the most part, they average about 3 years, give or take, for the time frame that they need to spend the money. And there are some exceptions to that where we have extensions. But for the most part, all the groups have, 99% of what the money that we go out, we're satisfied with how it's spent. And really, I think that's, you know, just a testament to how those groups value what they're doing as well.
And every year it comes through and you go through the same process. You'll be just about ready to start it up again here in a few months.
Yep. We pushed our first meeting back a little bit to give us a little reprieve on a short session. But yeah, I started digging through that big three ring binder, and
it's back again. Well, at least carry it with 1 year with one arm. That'll build that arm up, and then the next year carry it with the other arm. Then you don't have to go to the gym. So.
Exactly. Well, I should anyways.
Well, Senator Lang, really want to thank you.
Sleep on that idea that I gave you and kind of just get back to me. Just mull it over, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Andrew, thank you so much.
Senator Andrew Lang.
When we come back, Gary Leaf with some interesting observations on how this blizzard, this weather affects the what we're looking at this spring and summer. Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. You know, Gary, as a whole, I would say that this winter has been pretty good for the economy, for those people that rely on the economy of winter, meaning ski resorts, snowmobile, ATVs, cross-country trails, snowshoeing, ice fishing, all those things. You know, it's never perfect. We always want ideal conditions. It's never perfect. But I would say that 2019-20 has been very good overall for most of the places that rely on snow.
Yeah, I think that the snowmobile usage was probably a pretty good year, maybe not the best, but certainly very good. Had a lot of snow and a lot of fluffy snow. The lakes maybe weren't as good for ice fishing as they could have because of the...
Yeah, some touch and go there.
Yeah, some touch and go there
because of the timing of the snow.
Yeah, timing of the snow and stuff like that. But I'd say on the whole, it was a pretty good winter so far. And we're, you know, I don't know how far away we are from the end of it.
No, we could, I mean,
you know,
yeah.
You got eight, nine below coming in the next couple of days. And then it goes up to 36.
Again, yeah.
You know, so that's some interesting fluctuation. It's weird how easily you get conditioned to either, usually for me, it's cold weather. As soon as it starts getting cold, then all of a sudden I'm way too hot and going back and forth the other way. So we'll have to see what happens here.
Yeah, but I would just say in general, in March could be a good month to be out ice fishing for those panfish and some of that stuff. You can do a little bit of hunting. Who was it I texted yesterday? Oh, Terry Steinbach. I texted him and he said he was out pheasant hunting. I assume at a game farm or something like that. But you know there are some opportunities that way right now if you want to get out and about.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a good way to get out and get the experience of it. It's not quite exactly going out and...
And good for your dogs, too.
Yeah, good for the dogs. And
really good for dog training.
Yeah, getting out with some buddies and stuff like that and getting out there and scaring up some roosters that way, you know, that could be done. So, and then we've got some shows coming up, like we just had Pheasant Fest and, you know, the Northwest Sports Show's not that far away.
You know, Ronnie alluded to the fact, was it a record attendance or something for the Pheasant Fest, you know?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what went on there. He said it sounded like it was. So that's pretty amazing. And, you know, we had someone on from Pheasant Fest last week, so kind of a pretty broad array of things, you know, if you attend that. You could take a look at whether you want to manage your own land or find out whether some of the more state-of-the-art things going on in hunting, whatever, you know. So those shows are always kind of interesting to attend.
The big one comes up in April, though, the sports show.
Yeah.
And they moved it to April, right? And it used to be March.
Yeah. So that thing gets that's got to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 to 60,000, I would guess.
I guess, huh?
Yeah, something in that area. And what's interesting I found out last year is that a large percentage nowadays of boat sales actually take place during those. It never used to be that way.
Really?
But yeah, there are shows. So the dealers and manufacturers and all of that actually come in with some of their best deals of the year for those shows. And people are
actually... That really is a transaction.
Yeah.
It's not just a showroom kind of thing.
No, it's not just one of many.
Take a look and remember us. They're actually signing up.
Yeah, they're actually signing up to buy the boats, and that's a new way that's emerged, I guess, in the last number of years, or not a newer way of...
That's good, though, because I'm so tired of online this and that. I like being out in front of somebody.
Well, there's some...
Seeing the product, talking to the guy, looking him in the eye. What's this really about?
Yeah, you know, and even with a boat, you know, there's a new boat smell.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, you sit in a boat and you go...
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's something to all of that. You get a look at the enormity of the engines, you know, that they are and what they can do and so on and so forth. So it's quite an experience.
Yeah, for sure. And that's always something, I don't know, when I get there, and I always like it in March because it feels still like it's winter, and you go there and you just that sense of optimism. April could be a little late for me because if the snow melts, then I don't need to be indoors as much.
Yeah. Well, by that time, it's starting to, you know, we're starting to move in the right direction. Let's put it that way. Let's hope that we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, there's stuff. This is the lull.
Yep.
More than any other time of the year. And as we talk about fish houses coming.
No man's land or whatever.
But this is when you do your planning.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a great time to do your
planning. It's also a good time to figure out how to put in play those presidential quotes that you had been using earlier.
Yes, yes. Let me just see. I'll give you a quick one here and see if you can guess who it is. Okay? This is just off the top of my head. Whatever you are, be a good one.
That's got to be, is that Washington?
No.
Well, a Truman?
No.
I don't know then.
There's more presidents than that.
Yeah, I know there is, but I go through the whole list. We'll take another, we'll go into the next hour.
Okay, that was Abraham Lincoln.
Was it?
Yep. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power.
Wow. Wilson?
Woodrow Wilson? No, he never. Abraham Lincoln again. It was a trick.
No.
Gary Leaf, when we come back, high school basketball talk on Sports the Mac.